Brother Glenn asks that we read from Leviticus 23, verses 34 through 44. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall the feast of the tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offering, everything upon his day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Also, in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days, and ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in a year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in the booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in the booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. I'm not sure what Brother Glenn's planning on speaking of tonight, but sort of ties in with our Sunday school lesson this morning as we talked about the Sabbaths and keeping them. And to me, the point is we don't celebrate the Sabbath on the seventh day, but we have the Lord's Day and we celebrate it. And sometimes a question comes up of how much work we do. And there's just a note here in my Bible. To me, Sunday is a day we set aside to worship God, and you need that. I need that each week to be refreshed and be reminded. And I had to think of when the Israelites passed over the Jordan, and each tribe was supposed to bring a stone, and it was to remind the children. And we're a forgetful people. And just this note in my Bible here says, the Feast of Tabernacles, called the Feast of Ingathering, was a special celebration involving the whole family. Like the Passover, this feast taught family members of all ages about God's nature and what he had done for them, and it was a time for renewed commitment to God. Our families also need rituals of celebration to renew our faith and pass it on to our children. And I just had to think, you know, as responsibility of parents, and bringing them to God's house on Sundays is still the most special way that we have to pass on, when our children can sit here and hear good sound preaching, and of course the food that I need for the week and each one of us need for the week, we can get right here each week. So let's come to the Lord in prayer.
It's good to see each of you tonight. Faithful group of worshippers here tonight. I greet you each in Jesus' name. And as we were singing Wonderful Words of Life, I too was thinking, and I was thinking about whether it's me or if it's true, that I'm not just imagining it. It seems like it's more graveyards suddenly popping up in people's yards than I ever saw before. And sometimes there's this circle of white beans with their hands, holding hands around the yard. Is it just me or is it more than ever? Jesus said, "The thief cometh but to kill and destroy, but I come to give life and to give it more abundantly." Wonderful words of life. We live in a heathen society and we don't have to go across any ocean to get on a mission field. It's obvious that some neighbors need help when death is celebrated. How sad. They don't have anything better than that to celebrate. It's a disgusting time of the year in that regard. But it is a time of the year that we want to remember tonight. It's a good time to do it. We don't have a service here called Harvest Praise or Harvest Home or whatever they call them. And this November, at the Thanksgiving week there, we're not going to have a sermon. We're going to have all testimony this year, as Brother Ray reminded us this morning. And so this sermon tonight is somewhat on Thanksgiving. More than that, maybe praise to our Heavenly Father, the giver of every good and every perfect gift. The feast that the Jews were given to keep. Here in Leviticus chapter 23, God instructs Moses concerning the feast that he wants Israel to keep. I don't know, Brother Donnie, maybe you need a better title. The Feast of Tabernacles, whatever. The Feast of Tabernacles, Booths, the Feast of Booths. But here in Leviticus 23, God gives Moses instructions on what feast, what special holidays, what special occasions he wants his people to keep year in and year out. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God want certain things repeated year after year? It would be that they would be reminders. And indeed, we as Church of the Brethren, we have just gone through Luff Feast. And we get in different congregations sometimes to help with Luff Feast, and we just had our own. And these are reminders. These things do in remembrance of me. Jesus asks us to do them in remembrance of him, to observe the bread and the cup. And he told us to wash feet, and there's the evening meal, and that's the Lord's Supper. And these things remind us of our redemption, the things that God has done for us. And so these feasts that Israel is to keep year in and year out, they were reminders of who their God was, who their God is, and all his wondrous works among them, so that they wouldn't be forgotten. We forget so quick, and we forget that every day is a gift. Every day you wake up in the morning, it's a gift. We forget this. We forget that every day we're able to get out of bed, that's a gift. All we would have to do is enter a rehabilitation center or some hospital, and we'd be reminded very quickly what a gift we have. When we see many people that are laid up and can't get around. The point of it all is God is great and greatly to be praised. And that praise, we are failing if that praise is not coming off our lips as God's people. God is great tonight and greatly to be praised for all his wonderful works and gifts to the children of men. Seven feasts, and the scripture calls them convocations. Seven feasts or convocations, holy convocations, are listed here in this chapter 23 of Leviticus. And I would say that they've all either found or they're going to find their typological fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And so these feasts are all, when they were given, they were all looking forward to Christ. And the first one, the number one feast that we would mention tonight would be that of the Passover, and I believe the Passover speaks of our redemption. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, your vain life that you were living, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So here we read about redemption in Christ. And indeed, the Passover speaks of our redemption, and we find it fulfilled by Christ on the cross. And so this first Jewish feast, that of the Passover, fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Number two, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they're quite often taken together, the Passover and the Unleavened Bread. Number two, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I believe, speaks of our justification, even our sanctification. Again, we find the fulfillment in Jesus Christ on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, for he hath made him, that is, God hath made Christ, the Father hath made the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin, but he was made sin for us. He took our sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A simply amazing verse of Scripture, telling us so much truth about our relationship with God. We had to sin. He was perfect. He took our sin on himself and in turn gave his righteousness to us. The Feast of Unleavened Bread speaks of our justification. I believe it also speaks of our sanctification. Also in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to read a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Purge out therefore the old leaven. Talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We come to love feasts in all sincerity and truth, not with malice, not with wickedness, not with leaven, but with the unleavened. I think leaven in Scripture speaks of sin. I mentioned that to an instructor a number of years ago, and I got a strange look. But anyway, I believe leavened in Scripture refers to that which is spotted, that which is impure. Unleavened is pure. It speaks of our precious Lamb of God, the Lamb of Calvary. Number three, the Feast of First Fruits. I believe this was fulfilled in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, from the dead. Jesus Christ crucified, resurrected, and ascended back to the throne of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. So again, I believe the Feast of First Fruits has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ as he resurrected from the dead. Number four, Pentecost, I believe, was fulfilled when Christ sent the Holy Spirit upon the church. And you can read about that wonderful occurrence in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Number five, the Feast of Trumpets. Now here I think we change gears, and from here on, I don't believe these are totally fulfilled. And I could be wrong. I have a lot to learn about the feast. But the Feast of Trumpets, number five here, I would say is to be fulfilled by Christ when he comes again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Feast of Trumpets that the Jews kept is to be fulfilled by Christ when he comes again. You could also read Scripture in 1 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, there in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, that ye sorrow not even as those who have no hope. For if ye believe that Christ died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I believe this will be the total and final fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. Another one, number six, the Day of Atonement, I believe is also fulfilled in its entirety at the second coming of Christ. As some would believe, 7 years after this rapture that 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about. I'm not sure about the 7 years in there. I'm not sure who is. But at any rate, it's all going to come to pass, Christ's second coming, whether it's one or two phases. I'm not getting into that tonight. But the Day of Atonement will also be fulfilled at Christ's second coming. And I use that interchangeably, the second coming and the rapture. Some put a separation there. Number seven tonight, the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe its final complete fulfillment will be during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when he reigns on earth 1,000 years on the Davidic throne, David's throne for 1,000 years. I believe this Feast of Tabernacles will find its complete and final fulfillment. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. I'm in Zechariah 14, verse 16. It shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll stop reading there. I do want to come back to that. I want to come back to that scripture later. But here we read about these people going up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, that is future, the way I understand it. This is going to be, I believe, during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the thousand-year reign that he has here on earth. The Feast of Tabernacles is a joyous time. As Brother Clay read, he read the word joy or joyous in one of these verses. I won't see that in Zechariah, will I? Back here in Leviticus chapter 23 again, but it's a joyous time. It's a joyous feast of ingathering, as Brother Clay mentioned. It's a feast of rest, and it's a feast of thanksgiving. The Feast of Tabernacles, ingathering, rest, thanksgiving. In Nehemiah chapter 8, we could read there how Israel celebrated it. They celebrated this Feast of Tabernacles upon returning from exile. And the Feast of Tabernacles will be kept, like we've said, during the millennium by the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other feast is going to be observed during that time of millennium. They will all have been fulfilled. There'll be no reason to keep any of them but this feast alone during the millennium. The Feast of Passover and the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles are the three major holidays or feast on the Jewish calendar. And the Feast of Tabernacles being the third of those three. The Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, the three major holidays. Here where Brother Clay read Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Occurring the seventh month on the Jewish calendar, Tishri, our September, October. So we're right here. We're right here, you know, in October. Tishri. or September, October, a pilgrimage to Jerusalem to worship in the temple and offer sacrifices and offering to the Lord was required during these three major Jewish feasts, these holidays. I want to go to Deuteronomy briefly, Deuteronomy chapter 16, and read two verses there. Deuteronomy 16 and 17. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. These feasts all go back to God the giver. And do we thank God and do we worship God and praise him as we should? Do we remember that everything we have comes from God, every good gift? The one who blesses and the people, praise God for the harvest. Verse 35 there that Brother Clay read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 35 says, on the first day shall be a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. All the feasts included a Sabbath. Reminder, a strong reminder, every feast that our rest is in the fulfillment of these feasts, Jesus Christ. There is no true rest in this world to be found outside of Jesus Christ. This morning, I belong to Jesus Christ. You know, wonderful sermon. We find our rest in him. We find our everything in him. We find the fulfillment of life in him. He's the fulfillment of these feasts, and he is our fulfillment. Did we praise and thank him enough? Jesus said himself, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord Jesus Christ is our rest. And you'll notice that with all the feasts, there was always this day of rest, this Sabbath. Verse 39. And here in Leviticus 23, and it also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. It would start with a Sabbath, and it would end with a Sabbath. When ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, you could call it a Thanksgiving feast, thanking and praising the Lord of the harvest, the one who blesses with the fruit of the land. And then you have verses 40 through 44 here. This gathering that they were told to do in verse 40, you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of thick trees, willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice. It was a feast of rejoicing before the Lord your God 7 days. Why did they gather these things? Well, you find the answer down there in verse 43. They were to dwell in booths. And they were going to make their booths out of these materials. You know, booths were made and dwelt in 7 days as a reminder of how God provided for them in the land, in the wilderness after they came out of the land of Egypt. And they dwelled in tents or booths during that time. And who was their provider? Who fed them from heaven? Who turned bitter water to sweet? Who provided for their every need? Their God. The God of heaven, the God of the Jew, our God today. It was a reminder of God's provision and dwelling, how they dwelt in booths in that wilderness. You know, there in verse 43, that your generations may know, that they may know, and that this might not be forgotten, that I made thy children, the children of Israel, to dwell in booths. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God, I'm still your God. I'm the same God of Abraham that I was of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we have the same God today. During the coming millennium, as all nations are to come up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, those who refuse are going to be punished. And I want to read a little bit further there. There in Zechariah chapter 14, I did read verse 16, where they were to keep the Feast of Tabernacles year to year, going up to worship the king. Verse 17, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. There's a lot of famine today. There's a lot of lands in the world today that they just don't get rain. And we grumble and complain when we have one dry summer and some crops and some gardens don't produce the way we were hoping, and we don't have as much to put in the freezer or on the table from our own crop, from our own garden. How quick we are to grumble, but there are countries where they haven't had rain for years, and they have drought, and they have famine, and people die, people starve. I don't think anyone around here is in that predicament. I know there is starvation in America, but we right here have much to be thankful for, and I hope we are, and we need reminded of all the good gifts that God gives us. You know, it talks here about there in Zechariah, it talks about the worshiping the king, the Lord of hosts, and those who do not come up are going to be judged with no rain, and if Egypt go not up, you know, and have no rain, there's going to be a plague. Well, I don't know where America's headed, but I do know one thing. And I say this tonight to remind myself, as much as anybody sitting here, that after November 8th, the Lord Jesus Christ is still going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's going to be in control. And if you don't remember that, it can get scary and disheartening when we consider the godless generation that is running things in our nation. That once feared God, no longer does. Where is America in prophecy? I don't know. But these nations that don't come up to worship the king, they're going to be judged. And I believe we are being judged. You know, the harvest of a good crop. It says there in our text in Leviticus 23 about after gathering in the crops, you know, then this feast of tabernacles is to take place. And I became friends the last couple summers with a very friendly, I really like him, he's a friend. He's an Amishman named John. Got to know him at Leola Produce Auction. And we've talked quite a bit the last couple summers. We look at each other's peaches, and he had beautiful peaches different times, and I mentioned it, and he said, we got to be careful that we don't get proud about that peach, about that beautiful pack of peaches sitting here on the auction block. We got to be careful. He talked in a very soft, slow voice, and he was looking at me intently, and you know, we got to be careful. And he was right. The farmer can think, what a crop I brought in. Boy, I just did everything right, and look what my hard work, you know, how it paid off. And I knew how to do it. I knew better than this guy down the road. Look at my crop. Your crop would be nothing without the Lord. Praise God, he is the giver of every gift. He is the giver of the crop, the harvest, our food. This past April, I really wondered if there was going to be able to be one peach in the orchard. After all, the peaches were in full bloom, and we read the thermometer, it was 18 degrees. Now, how does a peach blossom survive in 18 degrees? A couple of mornings later, it was 20 degrees. I thought, well, whatever the 18 didn't get, now it's going to get zapped. But we were blessed with a wonderful, beautiful peach crop. Praise God. He is the one that gave it. If you had anything in your garden this year, you have one person to thank, your Heavenly Father. Whatever you ate today, you have one person to thank and to praise His holy name, your Heavenly Father. Yeah, the harvest of a good crop can make a person proud. Look what I've grown. Are we ever guilty of stealing praise and credit from our God? Praise God for everything good that comes our way. We live in a land of plenty. That could change. A lot could change in this nation, and I believe it will. But the Lord Jesus Christ is in control. He is our King and He is our Lord. We have freedoms in this land. We have plenty of food. We have comfortable houses. We cool our houses in the summer and we heat them in the winter, and some people can't do that. But we do our best to make ourselves comfortable. And God has blessed us to be able to do that. God pity us and have mercy on us if we grumble amid so many blessings. I believe ungrateful, unthankful people are sinful people. And yes, I believe I've sinned in this manner already. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Praise God, we can still worship as we have this morning and tonight. I did not come here fearing that I might be shot down for preaching the Word of God. I did not come here fearing that. I didn't even think about it. But in many nations, they do think about that. Praise God, we can still worship, as many cannot. That too might change. But as these changes come, God is going to give you and I a grace that we never thought possible. To remain Christians and to remain faithful to the Word of God and to our Lord and Savior. You're not going to wither up and give up your faith. Not when you keep your hand in Christ's hand. Because when you do your part, He is going to do the rest. And He is going to keep you right to eternity, and the salvation that is in Christ will be complete. Praise God also tonight for the harvest of souls. The Feast of Tabernacles is a reminder. It's a joyous reminder of God delivering Israel from Egypt. And the sinner is redeemed. The sinner is delivered from the world and from sin. Anyone here tonight saved? A child of God, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed from corruption. You've been redeemed from the punishment of sin and hell. The sinner is redeemed tonight by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has fulfilled these feasts and will completely fulfill all of them. Experiencing the greatest freedom that was ever known to man is experienced when we experience freedom in Christ. These children of Israel, these Jews, were supposed to remember how they were slaves in Egypt and how they were brought out and how they were cared for in the wilderness, and they've dwelt in booths. And you have the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. Praise the God of the harvest of souls, of man, of men and women and boys and girls. Are we mission-minded enough, as we should be? Matthew chapter 9, 36, but when Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. We have experienced being harvested. It should behoove us, the love of God that has been placed upon us and in us should flow out, that others would also experience this wonderful harvest, the greatest harvest ever imaginable, the harvest of a soul. Our Lord is the giver of that harvest as well. Psalm chapter 147. These psalms are so full of praise. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. 8, 9. Who covereth the heaven with clouds? Who prepareth rain for the earth? Who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains? He giveth it to the beast. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. Verse 14. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Praise ye the Lord. So many of these psalms right here start, I believe the last five or so here start with that phrase, praise ye the Lord. Psalm 148. Just listen while I read. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise ye him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire, hail, snow, and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beast and all cattle, creeping things, flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord.
God's people said, amen. I had to wonder, as our brother was bringing us his word this evening, if we had to, in our day and age, observe the ceremonies and feasts like they did of old, how that would be. The detail, the work. But Christ had come. We don't have to do that now. This morning for our Sunday worship, we were about an hour from here. We passed many churches, and I thought of the verse of Scripture. Remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. And then another passage that says about our willingness to make that observation. And parking lots were not full. You know, maybe it'd behoove us if we had to make more of an effort to make observations so our love and our appreciation for the freedoms that we have in God's Word would be something that we would have to do more fully, possibly than what God requires us today. A way of observations. Things he asks us to do is observe the Sabbath, keep it holy, so we come. And then some thoughts our brother mentioned about the foolishness of these cemeteries in the front yard. You know, maybe those people are really afraid of death. Maybe they are. But as they consider, like everyone, the choices between heaven and hell, while that consideration is being made, each person rests in one of those two choices while they consider heaven and hell. The believer can rest assured in the 25th verse of Proverbs 3. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. We do have a lot to be thankful for. In the last few days prior to my father's homegoing, he had a massive cancer in his right lung. No one knew that. But I had asked him a couple times, how do you feel, Dad? He said, well, pretty good for the shape I'm in. That's how he'd respond. Do you have any pain? No, no pain. A blessing, a real blessing. How we respond, to what God does for us can be our thank offering. Let's come before the Lord in prayer, standing.